Thank you, Rick. It really is good to be here, you guys. I love being here, bringing greetings from Redeemer Bible Church. So Bill is Bill Farley, who I think you guys heard from last week. He's preaching at Redeemer, which is great, and it's good to be back here. If you have a Bible with you, and I hope you do, turn over to Matthew 7. If you remember from, I think I was here a year ago, I also preached from Matthew 7. But I'm going to preach from a few verses before that. So it's Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5 is what we're looking at this morning. And it's about not judging hypocritically. Not judging hypocritically. So Matthew 7, and when you get there, if you would please stand, and I'd like to read the Word of God together as we stand in honor of the Word of God. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "Judge not that you not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." And this is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So, as you're probably aware, this is the most quoted verse of all the Bible by unbelievers. Not even a close second place. This is the most quoted verse. This is the gospel according to the world. Don't judge me. Don't judge. You let me be me and you do you. Yeah, there's no judgment at all. Don't tell me that I'm wrong. Don't tell me that I'm in sin or that there even is sin. Don't tell me that anybody's going to hell. Don't tell me that there are standards. Don't tell me that I have to change, that there's some kind of judgment. Jesus said, don't judge. You're a Christian. How can you judge? That's the quintessential teaching of Jesus, right? Little fun tidbit, little side note. If you ever have somebody quote this to you, you can kindly ask them, do you know where in the Bible that's found? And they probably don't know, actually. They probably don't know. So what is this passage about? We hear this a lot. This gets thrown around a lot. And I think there is a lot going on here, and once we work our way through it, it'll be very easy to see what Jesus is getting at. To be very clear, though, at the outset, Jesus is not saying, do not ever judge. He is not saying that. What he's saying is, don't be a hypocrite when you judge. Don't be a hypocrite when you judge. And I would go even further, that for Jesus, pure judgment is actually critical to the kingdom of God. Pure judgment is critical to the kingdom of God, and hypocritical judgment, just the opposite, is a cancer to the kingdom of God. It's a cancer. So what I want to do is I just want to make five observations about this passage as we work our way through it. The first observation is really the big picture that I think we probably almost breeze by, but it's the certainty of divine judgment. It's the certainty of divine judgment. Verse 1, judge not that you not be judged. So before we even get into the meat of the teaching about judging other people and removing specks and removing laws or logs out of our eyes and all of that, Jesus assumes that there will be a judgment where we all stand before God on the final day. Judge not lest you be judged by who? By God. Actually, by Jesus himself. Jesus' followers are always to live in light of the coming judgment that we will face. And we see this in many passages, actually. If you're taking notes, you can jot this down. I'm not going to turn there. But Romans 14:10, the Apostle Paul says, "For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.' So then," Paul says, "each of us will give an account of himself to God." We will all give an account to God. Hebrews 4:13, and no creature is hidden from God's sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. That's a little frightening. I mean, think about being naked and exposed. God knows everything in judgment when we stand before him. It says we will give an account. Hebrews 9:27, and just as is appointed for a man to die once, and then comes judgment. Judgment. We will all die and we will all face judgment. That's every man, every woman, every single person who's ever lived. Now, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we don't have to fear that judgment in the sense that we'll go to hell, right? We've been covered by the righteousness of Christ through faith in his Son who died for our sins, who rose again. So our sins through faith in Jesus have been imputed to Jesus. His righteousness has been imputed to us. We are now children of God, fully justified, fully forgiven. But even as his children, we're warned that we will stand before the holy judge of all the earth. That's why the Apostle John says in 2 John verse 8, watch yourselves that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. In Christ, we have heaven, we have an inheritance, we have hope, we have the glory, but we want to win the full reward. James, if you remember this, maybe some of you are elders or aspiring teachers or whatever, he says this in James 3:1, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Now, I don't know exactly what all that means, but it's a warning that whatever judgment we face will be more severe. So we will all be judged. If we are in Christ, ultimately we will be found righteous, but there's a judgment nonetheless. So I don't know about you, but my question is, well, how do I lessen that judgment? Like, how do I bring that down a notch? Like, if I'm going to stand before the Lord, I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. How can it be less severe for me? Well, Jesus says, I'll tell you how. I'll tell you how. That's what this whole section is about. How do we lessen judgment? So when I was in high school, I saw this fast car movie. And as a teenager, what I did after seeing a fast car movie was I drove my car fast, 15 over down the bypass highway in the Tri-Cities, and I got pulled over. State trooper didn't even talk to me. There was no conversation. There was just a ticket, $272 fine. I was guilty. I was judged. But on the back of the ticket, it said, hey, if you want, you can call the courthouse and you can make an appointment and you can stand before the judge and maybe he'll lessen the fine. I'm like, that's my option. That's what I want. How do I lessen the judgment? And that's what Jesus is getting at here. How we judge others actually is one way in which we will be judged or not be judged. Remember, if you've read through the Sermon on the Mount recently, you see a lot of these sort of how we treat other people is really how we would want God to treat us. So we forgive other people just like we would want God to forgive us. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Right? So that's really a kingdom ethic, is we treat other people the way that we want God to treat us, actually. But the big picture here is that there is a judgment. There's no way to skip that judgment, but there is a way to make it easier. By the way, just to state the obvious, if standing before holy God makes you a little bit nervous, that's okay. Our God is holy. He is awesome. He's our Father. He's loving. He cares for us. He sent his Son to die for us. That's what we were singing about. But there is a holy reverence and awe that God's people should have for God. And we should live our life in light of the fact that we are a holy people, his chosen possession. Our redemption was paid with the precious blood of Jesus, and that was not cheap. So there is a certainty of judgment. And a lot of times we and unbelievers, of course, skip over that. Well, don't judge me. Only God can judge me. Yeah, that's a scary thing. That's a scary thing. So that's point number one, is that there is a coming judgment. The second point that I want to make is what Jesus is calling to is to not be a hypocritical judge. Don't be a hypocritical judge. So look at verses 1 and 2. Jesus says, judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So at first glance, I think a lot of times people will look at that and it'll seem like maybe Jesus is saying, well, don't ever judge. Judge not, right? But we know that's not true because a little bit later on, he does say, no, I want you to take the speck out of your brother's eye. I just want you to do it while you don't have a log in your own eye. So there's a judgment aspect going on. We'll see that in a minute. But the illustration later on does mean that we have to judge. But the opening line here really serves as a warning that every time we judge someone else, just know that on the last day, we will be judged based on that judgment. Does that make sense? We'll be judged based on that judgment. I cannot believe that mom does not discipline her kid in the middle of the grocery store. And God will be like, oh, really? You want to talk about parenting? Okay, we'll just check that one down. We'll talk about parenting. I cannot believe she's wearing those jeans. Oh, wardrobe. You want to talk about wardrobe on the last day? This is great. He cut me off. Did you see that guy? Oh, you want to talk about driving. That's what you want to talk about. This is the warning that Jesus is giving us. Every time we judge someone, we are willfully entering into a mirror judgment on the last day. That's what he's saying. And the measure by which we measure others will be the measure by which God measures us. So he's not saying don't judge ever. He's just saying when you judge, know that this is coming. And by the way, this is not fine print either. This is like right up front at the beginning. This is happening. This is coming. This is not, oh, I forgot to tell you that the judgment is happening. No. Judgment is coming. You need to be ready for that. I don't know about some of you dads. I wrestle around with my kids, and sometimes it gets a little rough. But if they start it, I usually tell them, look, don't start wrestling unless you're willing to get hurt. Straight up, you will get hurt, right? And then they come flying anyway, right? But I'm straight up with them. It's going to hurt. There's going to be tears, and there's not going to be a lot of compassion for that. So you got to know. Well, here's the deal with little kids, right? They love it when they're clobbering someone else, don't they? They don't like it when they're getting clobbered. We are the exact same way when we judge other people. We love clobbering other people, don't we? We don't like it when we're getting clobbered. That's the warning that Jesus has given us. That's what he's saying. So I give my warning to the kids up front. Pain's coming. I'm not saying don't. I'll wrestle with you. I like wrestling. But it's coming. And what Jesus says is if you're like, yep, I'm good, then game on. Game on. Again, he's not saying don't ever judge ever. But don't enter into judgment unless you're willing to take some lumps. Unless you're willing to stand before the Lord Jesus himself and give an account for your judgment on your own judgment day. But I have to tell you, when I look back on this sermon, especially throughout this sermon, I have failed spectacularly in pretty much every area of the sermon. I have been proud. I have been lazy. I've stirred up strife rather than be a peacemaker. I've been angry. I've lusted. I've failed to keep my word. I've retaliated. I've been stingy, greedy, unloving, filled with anxiety and worry. And I think that should temper the manner in which we judge other people. If we've been there too, if we've struggled with that too, and God has shown us mercy, then we should be able to show other people mercy in the same manner. It doesn't mean that you can't ever call someone out if you lied in the past and you're seeing someone lie now. It's like, oh, well, I can't say anything because I sinned that way. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. But it might temper the manner in which we approach somebody who's in sin. I think this thing does two things. It helps us to be gracious to those who are caught up in sin now. The second thing that I think it does is it really helps to get to the real issue that we don't judge hypocritically. Again, not that we don't ever judge, but we don't judge hypocritically. Are we sinning in this exact same way now? Are we doing this not just on the outside, but in our hearts? Is this going on? This has been Jesus' main issue through the whole Sermon on the Mount. Are we living a wholehearted life devoted to God? Not just on the outside, not just for the show, but really in our heart. Are we angry with our brother? Are we lusting after this other person? Are we stingy? Those things. So don't commit adultery. Are we watching movies that we shouldn't? Don't covet. Are we constantly worried about the stock market or our IRA or what our neighbor has or what someone else has? We have to walk in humility. Remember, for Jesus, hypocrisy is usually in the heart. It's where the outside looks good. The outside looks like you're following Jesus, but on the inside, you're really following something else. That's hypocrisy for Jesus. So the issue is not whether or not we judge someone, but it's what's going on inside of us when we do. So look at verse 2 again. He says, "For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." This is really two ways of saying the same thing. And Jesus uses a measurement illustration because in ancient times, everything was in bulk. And I want to show you what he's referencing here. So turn over to Deuteronomy 25 for just a minute. You can put a bookmark here. But Deuteronomy 25, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. If you haven't read the law in a little while, I'd encourage you to do so. There's a lot of neat little tidbits in there and a lot of neat tidbits that even the New Testament writers pull out and use as illustrations in their own writings. So in Deuteronomy 25, verses 13 through 16, we have some laws about buying and selling in the marketplace. So the law was pretty comprehensive. So look at verse 13. He says, "You shall not have in your bag two kinds of weights, a large and a small. You shall not have in your house two kinds of measures, a large and a small. A full and fair weight you shall have, a full and fair measure you shall have, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. For all who do such things, all who act dishonestly, are an abomination to the Lord your God." That's what Jesus is quoting. That exact principle is what Jesus is quoting. So the idea is you don't have two sets of rocks or two sets of weights when you go to measure something or sell something or buy something, because that's cheating, that's lying, it's stealing. And you guys like the bulk section at Winco? I love the bulk section at Winco. But what? Imagine if you got like some chocolate-covered raisins and you got 4 pounds of chocolate-covered raisins and you go up to the front to check out and they go, 6 pounds. And you're like, whoa. No. There's 4 pounds back there. And it says six. It's two different weights, isn't it? Somebody's cheating, right? We feel wronged. Well, what if it's just the opposite? What if we get that 4 pounds and we're still walking around Winco and we're popping raisins? And by the time we get up to the checkout, it's 3 pounds. It's only 3 pounds in the bag. It's cheating too, isn't it? It's lying. It's dishonesty. Is stealing. Proverbs 20:23, unequal weights are an abomination to the Lord and false scales are not good. Jesus says that's exactly what we're doing when we are hypocritically judging other people. It's like we got false weights on their lives. It's like, oh, you've got 20 more pounds of sin than I do. Or we conveniently forget the 10 pounds of sin in our cart. That's what we're doing. It's dishonest. It's lying. It's cheating. It's the exact same principle of Deuteronomy 25. Jesus says, no, we need to scale this out exactly the same way. We need to make sure that our judgment is honest. It's an honest evaluation of us, and it's an honest evaluation of them, right? So, you know, if you see that guy after service or whatever, and if you're that guy, I'm sorry, I didn't see you, but if they're smoking, right, and you're like, ooh, bad, smoking, and then you hit the cheeseburger joint and down a 2,000-calorie cheeseburger, you might want to adjust your scales. I'm just saying. I can't believe they'd pay that for a car as you put $300 a month on credit cards eating out. I can't believe they'd watch those violent movies as you're downstairs playing video games, blowing away zombies. See what I'm saying? Like, we need to have equal weights, equal measurements, our life and their life. We need to assess them both correctly. And we'll clarify in a minute that they may be in sin. They may actually be in sin, but Jesus' bigger concern is our heart. That's his bigger concern. Before we can even deal with them, we have to deal with us. And we have to evaluate our lives and what's going on with us. So again, this issue is not don't ever judge. And we can turn back over to Matthew 7. That's what the world thinks that Jesus is saying. The world says, yeah, don't ever judge me ever. You do you and I'll do me. No, he says don't judge hypocritically, because if you do, you will be judged more severely. God will say, oh, that was the weight you used? That's the weight I'm using with you. So we have to watch our own hearts. Which brings us to point number three. And here's the real problem, is our proclivity to judgment. We love judging, you guys. We all love judging. Look at verses 3 and 4. He says, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye? This tiny little piece of dust. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? So this is the reality Jesus gets to. We love judging other people. We can find a speck in someone else's eye like a mile away, like we are a sniper. And we've got this massive scope, and it's out there, and we can see it. We know what's going on. All the while, we got this big log coming out of our eye. You guys ever watch American Idol or America's Got Talent or those kind of shows? You all have. You know you have. I used to watch them too. Why do we love them? It's not because we like great music, because like 3/4 of the show is awful music. Or it's not because we like the talent, because 3/4 of the show is awful. It's because we like to judge. That's why. We get to like dial in, text in with our phone and judge them up. It's great. American Idol has run for 16 seasons. Is it still on? I don't even know. It's still on, yeah. 8 years in a row, it was the number one show in America. 8 years in a row. What's the point of the whole show? It's judgment. That's what it is. We are entertained by judgment. And I'm not saying you're in sin for watching American Idol, okay? It's entertainment. But we are the most hypocritical judges ever. I used to watch American Idol and I'd vote. I can't hold a tune in a bucket. That's why I sit over by myself. So I don't ruin the rest of you. You know, and at least there were like judges that were part of the industry in there. But most people are totally tone deaf. But we love to judge. And so Jesus says our lives are like this one big American Idol show. And the people that we see all day long are our contestants. And we judge them. That's what we do. Can you believe what they said on Facebook? Why did they buy that thing? That's not what I would have done. And it's just this constant thing going on in our mind. Why do we do it? It's because we love it. Maybe it makes us feel better about ourselves. Jesus says it's like walking around with a big log in our eye, trying to take speck out of someone else's eye. That word log, by the way, or some of you have beam, is the Greek word dakos. It would be the center beam that supports the entire roof of the building. It's not like a 2x4. It's like a 40-foot glue lamb beam. That's what it is. It was also used of, you know, like when the city gates were closed and that big beam that they would put in to secure the gates shut, it's that beam, to give you another visual. He says, we walk around with that thing coming out of our face, and all the while we're trying to get that little speck of dust. That's the word that he uses for speck, like little itty-bitty grain of sand. That's what we're judging. By the way, this is true for everyone. We all do that. I do this. We all do this. This is our proclivity. This is our sinful nature, the proclivity to judge. But Jesus says that following him is not kingdom idol. We don't get to stand around and judge people all day. That's not why he came. American Idol is so popular because we love to judge. Can you imagine what it would be like if in order to vote on American Idol, you had to call up and they're like, okay, well, who do you want to vote for? Number 3. Okay, well, we're going to need you to sing a little jingle. And in order to place your vote, we're going to judge you to see if you're even qualified to judge. Oh. I'll pass. That's exactly what Jesus says is going to happen. There's a judgment coming. And so before we go out and judge, because that's our nature, that's our sinful proclivity to do so, just remember there's another judgment coming. That might change how we judge. So the way that we combat rampant judgment in our own lives toward other people is to consider the fact that we will stand before God in judgment and we need his grace. We need his mercy. Now, Jesus has said all of that to get to this. Number four, that he actually wants us to judge. He actually does, in fact, want us to judge. Look at verse 5. He says, "You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Right? So he's not saying, don't ever take the speck out of your brother's eye. No. He's saying, I want you to take the speck out. I just want you to do so when you don't have the log in your own eye. So Jesus does want us to judge, but he wants us to do so unhypocritically. And when he says brother, by the way, he's referring specifically to believers, other people who claim the name of Jesus. So this is really important. Claim the name of Jesus. But he wants us to get the glue lamb beam out of our eye first. We need to repent in our own lives. And I want to show you guys a couple other places where we see judgment. So turn over to 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5. There's a couple of books to the right. Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. And there are many passages that we could look at. Matthew 18, that church discipline section in verses 15 through 17. But I like what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 5, verses 9 through 13, because I think it helps give us a little bit of a grid by which we can work on. So remember, this was the guy in the church caught up in adultery. Seems like he was sleeping with his stepmom. The whole church was applauding. Paul's like, no, 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 this is sin. Get this guy out. This is leaven. It will ruin all of you. And this is what he says in verses 9 through 13. He says, "I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world or the greedy, swindlers or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders, unbelievers? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you." So here's the deal. We don't judge unbelievers in the sense of, oh, you're in sin, I can't hang out with you. He said, well, if you're going to do that, you might as well go live in a monastery because everybody's in sin who's not a believer. And even those who are believers, we got problems too. We're in sin too. So he's saying, no, I'm not talking about outsiders. I'm not talking about unbelievers. I'm talking about insiders, which means, by the way, you have to be able to judge who's in, who's out, right? And you have to judge their sin. Oh, they're an unbeliever, so I've evaluated that. And I've evaluated, okay, they're in sin, but I still hang out with them. I don't want to be influenced by them. But if they are a believer, right? So there's all kinds of judgment going on. It's just how we treat them. So we have to go through this process of right judgment and unhypocritical judgment. Turn over two more books to Galatians chapter 6. We see this again. This idea of, okay, well, this person's in sin. How do we restore them? How do we help them? Galatians 6:1. "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So same thing, we restore our brothers who have sinned. And you who are spiritual is just somebody who's, you who are walking by the Spirit, you who aren't caught up in that same thing, right? So it's the same thing that Jesus is saying. Don't be a hypocritical judge. Don't come to this guy and like, hey, I'm going to help you out of your sin issue when you've got that exact same sin issue. Make sure that your life is pure. And even if your life is pure, watch yourself, because you too might get tempted in the exact same way. You might fall. So be very careful. And the point of all of these is that there is an expectation that we will evaluate other people's lives. And this is good. We need this. You're weak. I'm weak. We're all weak. We need people to not just condemn us, but to go, hey, you know what, Jason, I see this is going on in your life, and I'm not sure this is a good thing. Can we talk about this a little bit? Like, you know what? You're right. I'm kind of failing in this area. Thanks for bringing that to my attention. Like, I need to step it up a little bit. Hey, can I help you? Can I encourage you? Keep you accountable? Whatever. Like, that's the model going on here. So for believers, we are called to repent from our sin. We are called to be open to that judgment as well. Now, I want you to stay here for a minute because there's point number five. It's the last point that I want to make. And that is how we judge other people. How do we confront somebody with their sin? Well, Paul gets to it in verse 1 here in Galatians 6. He says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of what?" It's gentleness. Spirit of gentleness. This is tender. This is, well, we've got an illustration, don't we? Back in Matthew 7. What's the illustration? Let's look back there. How gentle should we be when taking the speck out of someone's eye? Well, it's as gentle as we would want our eye surgeon to work on our eyes. It's exactly the illustration. So I'm like the splinter guy at our home. So when the kids, you know, get the splinters in, and one of my kids, it was like he was running across pressure-treated 2x6, and like the splinter went in his foot, and it was like jammed in there, and he was screaming, and I'm sweating, and my wife's like holding him down, like trying to calm him, and it's like, here we go. That was in his foot. Jesus says, imagine in his eye. That's what he's talking about. How gently and carefully would you want somebody to remove a splinter out of your eye? Extreme tenderness. Extreme patience. Extreme gentleness. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Your goal in taking the speck out of your brother's eye is not necessarily to stop the screaming. It's not necessarily to make everything feel good. It's to honor the Lord Jesus and to sanctify them, to remove the sin out of their life. And a lot of times they are screaming just like we'd be screaming if we had a piece of wood jammed in our eye. But Jesus says that it is necessary that we do this. This is not optional. When we see our brother in sin, it is commanded that we evaluate our own lives and remove the log. It's also commanded that we go and with ever so gentle hands, remove the speck out of their eye for the purity of the kingdom and the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, we are so prone to judge, and for that we ask your forgiveness. We're also prone to evaluate other people wrongly in light of our own sinful lives, and for that we ask your forgiveness. Lord, we pray that you would give us pure hearts and you would give us gentle hands as we seek to purify your church for your glory. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.